It's rather sadly, isn't it, that the issue of the last few days has brought about something that, in a sad way, doesn't surprise us anymore. The wickedness of men, terrorism being a constant threat in this country, and particularly in our capital and large cities. And no doubt there will be much said about it in the next few days. And in some ways that's good, isn't it? There will be good things said, there will be things and intelligence gathered, and hopefully these things and these approaches will protect us in the future. But I couldn't let this morning pass without going to Scripture and saying what Jesus had to say about the evil and the wickedness of men, and what these events should make us think about foremost. You see, I think there's a big danger here, and it's illustrated in the passage I'm going to read. We look at people and we think of those who are really wicked, and then we think of ourselves, and we think we're basically good. Well, let me read you what Jesus had to say when he was approached about a similar situation. This is Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. Now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. The situation is rather interesting. Jesus is preaching in Jerusalem, and he's approached by the good folk of Jerusalem about something that would have been in the news headlines of that day. It was an atrocity carried out by the Roman governor. But very notably, it hadn't happened in Jerusalem. It had happened to Galileans, and the inhabitants, the good godly folk in Jerusalem, did not like what they saw as the ungodly folk who lived in Galilee. These were Gentiles. And there's a bit of an agenda here, perhaps, which we detect. There's perhaps them coming to Jesus and saying, well, does sin breed punishment? Is this an example of God punishing the ungodly? Now, I know for the majority that will not be the issue with what's happened, and it shouldn't be anyway. It was with a great deal of disgust when the tsunami happened those many years ago that I heard a Scottish minister had said that this was God's punishment on those who were out on the Sabbath enjoying themselves when they should have been in church. Yeah, churches got swept away in the tsunami as well. So what will Jesus say? Jesus actually turns it round. Were these particularly bad people? Now, I know we're all sinners, and Jesus would have known that. No. He challenges those who've asked the question. Think about your eternal destiny before you judge others. He then brings it uncomfortably close to home. There'd been a building accident. 18 people had died in Jerusalem. That would have been all over the press. So Jesus, in effect, is saying, well, what about the godly folk? What about the good folk in Jerusalem? Do you think the ones who died when there was that building accident, do you think they were worse? Not particularly. Think about your eternal destiny. Why this response from Jesus? Is he taking a situation where there's been suffering, and undoubtedly there was, and is he making some twisted theological point out of it? We only need to read the Gospels with an open mind to see this was the most compassionate and loving man who ever lived. So that draws us to another conclusion. He's saying it because we actually need to hear it. He's saying it because he knows that the actual attitude we have as human beings is to point the finger and to say there must be some cause, there must be some effect. But before you do that, Jesus says, think about your destiny. Jesus, I believe, is actually saying what needs to be said. He wants to spare people the sin of apathy, or the sin of sticking one's head in the sand and being oblivious to what's around them. C.S. Lewis said that suffering is God's megaphone to a deaf world. Jesus says if there's anything you should be doing when you come across this kind of thing, it should wake you up to think about where you stand. You see, the point is this: we will all one day face judgment. And that's something we really need to understand, and it's something that we very much need to deal with. The Bible says this, doesn't it, in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. It says, just as man is destined to die once and after that face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. One day we all die. It's a fact of life. People say, you know, that there's two facts of life, aren't there? That's death and taxes. Can I add a third? We will be judged. That's what the Bible says. But the point is this, and this is why Jesus wants to wake us up to the issue of judgment. We do not need to face it on our own, do we? So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. This is the solution, isn't it? You see, I know what's going to happen. There'd be much debate about what turns someone into a terrorist. There's a different take on this on our website at the moment. I very quickly wrote a post the other day. And the point I wanted to make was this. Sin is always about self. It's always about wanting our way. The terrorist wants his way, doesn't he? He has his ideology. He wants to force it on someone else, or he wants to make a point. We want to make a point, don't we? When we want to win an argument, when we hold a grudge, it's us at the center. That's what sin is. And we realize very quickly when we look at that, we're all guilty. But here's a cure for sin. Christ was sacrificed. Christ is sympathetic because he realizes our human condition. He realizes there's nothing we can do about it. He will go to the cross and face judgment, God's judgment. So there is a way of escape. One of the things I think is wonderful is I can think of several former terrorists, IRA men, who were converted when they were in prison for their crimes and now have renounced terrorism, and in some cases are now people who minister the gospel and speak it to others because they want to spare people the sin of self. I believe that Jesus warns us because he is compassionate. Hebrews points out he will come again, and he will come again to judge, or he will come again to gather those who have accepted his generous offer. Much will be said in the next few days. Let us draw the right conclusions. from what has happened. And again, I just stress, there's a book you can take from the back of the church. If you know anyone who might want it, please take it. And again, you know, wherever this sermon ends up, go on our website. I'll send you a free copy. Where's God When Things Go Wrong by John Blanchard, one of the best books on suffering and this kind of issue.